need to say a few things just in terms of introduction. The first is we are, as a church, really since the summer, have been looking at Matthew's gospel. Now, we've not done it all the while. We've done chunks of it and then looked at other things and then returned to it. And we're in a series of returning to Matthew's gospel of allowing Matthew to lead us up until our celebration of Easter in a couple of weeks' time. And so, therefore, whilst this is a blessing in terms of our kids and a special time, the sermon and the series is not geared to that. It's us going methodically through a gospel, and it's possibly not the best passage to be preaching on in this context. And also, I'm the leader of the church, and I plan the preaching plan. And if I had my wits around me, because it's one of the most difficult passages in the Bible to preach on, I would have got someone else to do it. I've already said to Chris that he should have done. So Anne's saying, why didn't I just change? Because I just feel there's something. This is my wife who, yeah. So this is us having our lunchtime conversation early, which is probably better for you to be here to hear it rather than anything else. So you can talk to me about that afterwards as well. But the reason for doing all of that is I do think sometimes you don't want to avoid some of the harder things to understand, but I hope that I will be able to help you understand this passage of Scripture. But it might well be that you want to go to look at it yourself afterwards. And so this is Matthew 24 and 25. If you haven't got a Bible, then there are some Bibles on the bookcase over there. Please do take one with our blessing to take home and to be able to look at it and study yourself, because it's well worth it. And I hope that I can bring even what is seen to be a difficult passage to life this morning to show you and help you see how relevant the Bible is to everyday life today. So, some quick introductions. Matthew's Gospel, any book that you read, and the Bible is made up of lots of different books. Matthew is one of the books, is a gospel about Jesus, good news about Jesus, has a structure. And the structure of Matthew's gospel is there are five teaching passages built around in the gospel, and then incidents are linked in between the five. And of those five, the first two are larger, longer. The first and the last are longer teaching passages. The first long teaching passage, which takes up three chapters in Matthew, is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Then there are three smaller teaching passages, and then there's one that we're looking at this morning, which also takes three chapters, 23, 24, and 25, which looks at events that will happen after Jesus' death. And that's the structure. And this last teaching section is looking forward to Jesus dying on the cross, which comes in the chapters that follow this one. Last week, I looked at the first of the three chapters, chapter 23, and it was a condemnation of the existing leaders who claim to be the followers and in the footsteps of Moses, and Jesus was saying, no, they're not. And contrasted himself to them and saying, actually, it's me and my teaching that really follows on from Moses and the Old Testament. This week follows on chapter 24 and 25 from the passage. So when it was when it's there, the chapter headings are putting in to help us, but these three chapters come into one. And so I want to bring, before we look at 24 and 25, I want to look at the end of the passage that I looked at last week, which links into this, which is, so this is the end of 23. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Jesus speaking, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. A picture of a hen and the chicks. And as I said last week, those of us who are sort of not farming folk, who don't know a lot about chickens, won't necessarily understand the picture. But from my reading, what I understand it is, if there was a fire, a hen would seek to gather the chicks under their wings to protect the chicks from the fire. And apparently farmers are used to, if there's, and sort of within farms, particularly in older times, fires were quite common, would see and find dead hens with live chicks underneath, where the hen was burnt but protected the chicks. And so what Jesus is saying is, there's a fire coming. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have loved to have protect you from this fire that will come, but you wouldn't let me. I wanted to cover you. And what he's talking about, we now know with hindsight, well, what is the fire coming? An example, sort of a particular sense of that fire, was AD 70, about 40 years after these events, Jerusalem itself was burnt to the ground. The temple was destroyed by the Roman Empire. And that there were revolts, rebellions, and the Romans eventually had enough and sent in their forces, surrounded Jerusalem and burnt it to the ground. So there's a sense in which Jesus, because he's a prophet, he's God, he sees everything, he's looking ahead, he's knowing that that's going to happen. So I tried to save you to it, but you wouldn't listen to my teaching. And the result is a fire is going to come, which I wanted to save you from, but you wouldn't. And that picture is one of the pictures that flows into what is quite a difficult chapter to read, but what I want to do is try to help you and to bring it to life in that way. And there's numbers of different pictures that are used in this passage to help us understand what is going to happen. And one of them, and I think one of the key ones to help us understand it, is that of childbirth. So we have a sense of fire, but also of childbirth, which is quite relevant for what we've done today. And it says, all these things are the beginning of the birth pains. And there is this controlling picture throughout the passage of pregnancy and childbirth. And it's used as a way of describing God's future. The great hope and the possibilities are there, but also that sense of great danger. And one of the special things in terms of parents praying and giving thanks to their kids, because even today there is danger involved in childbirth. But in times gone by, childbirth was much more of a risky business. And with such a high mortality rate, both in terms of parents, but also in terms of children. And one of the things that I find shocking, if you read about history, even sort of history in the last 100 years or so, or sort of more modern history, was the number of women who died in childbirth. The number of stillborn children. But if you're talking about 2,000 years ago, there was a massive mortality rate. And so pregnancy and childbirth was traumatic, it was painful, it was an upsetting time, but it's also very, very joyful. And what Jesus is saying is, these things that we're going to look at in this chapter are the beginning of those birth pangs. A picture that controls it, of saying their pain and the difficulties and trauma, but to give birth to something that is going to be special and joyful. And there's not an exact description of things, because there's pictures, because we couldn't really cope with, I think, a clear, this is what's going to happen. Jesus uses pictures to help us get a flavour of what's going to happen. The birth of a baby. with later on in the passage, a marriage of a king's son, tree sprouting new leaves, children, chicken with chicks. Because they're pictures, we have to be careful about being too dogmatic about what those pictures point to and how we interpret those pictures. But the principle is the picture of fire is about judgment, birth pangs is about pain coming to new birth, and it's those imageries that continue throughout the passage. And the overall message of this part of the Bible leading up to Jesus' death on the cross is that the rest of history will be characterized by judgment and pain, but also new birth, new life, new hope. And just quickly, the challenges, the two challenges that we need in looking at this difficult part of the Bible is, first, the danger is of reading too much into the pictures, of trying to be too precise about what the pictures mean. The pictures are to help us understand the reality, but the danger is that we push them too far. And the second thing is that the pictures describe many different things at once, and they can be applied in different ways. And that's true for prophecy generally. Prophecy throughout the Bible, when you read it, it can be applied to mean different things. And similarly today, people still today have communication from God, what we call prophecy, but sometimes it's difficult to know exactly what God is talking about, and sometimes he can be talking about a number of different things at once. That's the nature of prophecy, and it's the nature of our ability to understand as much as anything else. And so in this case,